Again, my name is Chief Sean Barnes, S-H-O-N-B-A-R-N-E-S, with our third update of the day regarding our school shooting here in Madison, Wisconsin. Here are the latest updates. The reunification of students and their loved ones who survived this incident is complete. All student survivors have been reunified with their parents. We're still in the process of reunifying some of our staff, our teachers who selflessly stayed back to make sure our kids were okay. We're currently reunifying them with their loved ones as well. We do understand that this process of reunification may have taken a while, and parents really wanted to see their children, give their children a hug. Certainly I would as a father, but we are fortunate that that process is complete. As such, I want to thank the Dean Clinic. This clinic actually shut down their doors today in order to provide a space so that students who survived this incident could be reunified with their loved ones, and we thank them for doing this. At this time, we're still working on a motive, trying to determine why this happened. We know that there is some information that may be circulating about the shooter. I cannot at this time formally tell you the age or gender or name of the shooter. We do not want to compromise any part of the investigation, but it is important to note that later today at 8:30, I plan to give an additional update, and I believe at that time we may be able to give you the answers to some of those questions. Here's what we know again. We have three people who have lost their lives. Two of those people were persons who were pronounced dead at the scene, and one while on the way to the hospital. Of the six injured and taken to local hospitals, two students remain in critical condition. Their injuries are life-threatening. A teacher and three other students were taken to area hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. Two of those survivors have been released from the hospital. So that is an update. Officers were dispatched to Abundant Life Christian School at 10:57. I can confirm that the first officers arrived at 11 a.m. and immediately went in the building 3 minutes later. The Crime Response Unit of Dane County District Attorney's Office, assisted by the Dane County Emergency Management, and we're mobilizing our Mass Violence Critical Response Team. Once again, our Mass Violence Critical Response Team has been notified. This is a group of people trained in responding to victims of mass violence, which includes social workers, attorneys, victims, professionals, former law enforcement, and members of our community. If you need further assistance or want to know how you can help, you can contact the Crime Response Program. They have a daytime number of 608-284-6908. They have an after-hours number for those who may want to help at 608-376-0164. 608-376-0164. Pre-planned or planned shootings, we believe, are preventable. If you see warning behaviors from someone that is planning an attack, say something, do something. And you can report this at 1-800-MY-SUSO1, 1-800-MY-SUSO1. At this time, joining us is Director of Advancement, Barbara Weir.
Thank you. I understand there's questions regarding the school. We're happy to answer those to the best of our ability. We have been incredibly supported by Madison Police, Madison Fire, and the paramedics. They have been absolutely amazing to us. It was quite an afternoon for the reunification process, and we had so many people stepping up to help. Our families were amazing in their patience as we worked through this. We are so grateful. From the president up to the governor, the mayor, we have had so much support. This has obviously rocked our school community, but we know it affects not just our school community, but Madison and the greater area and all schools. And so our hope is that there will be some good that comes out of this as we can learn and grow and continue to support other schools.
able to take questions. Scott, you got first crack at it.
Chief, can you give us any details about if there are any warning signs that premeditated this either at the school or with the family or elsewhere that would have caused any red flags?
Yeah, that's what the officers and detectives are working on now. Hopefully this afternoon at our fourth press conference, I'll be able to answer that a little bit further. But right now, I cannot tell you. They're still talking to parents who are cooperating. And so hopefully we'll be able to give you a more detailed response as to any warning signs or anything that we may have possibly known prior to this.
All right, Maddie from WISC.
There's been heavy police presence at a home on the north side. Can you confirm if that's related to this?
I can confirm that it is related to this and everyone is cooperating. And so hopefully later today, if you stick around, we'll be able to give you more information about that and what we may have learned from that process. Again, this is a situation where students, teachers were injured and killed, and everyone wants to cooperate. Everyone wants to give as much information as they can so we can piece this together for our community.
Thank you.
Okay, Phoebe from Wisconsin Watch.
Yeah, hi, Chief. So accounts online are sharing doctored and debunked photos to push a narrative about the identity of the shooter that goes far beyond what has been released publicly. Can you respond to that, and can you also say what effect that has on either the families of the victims or the public's trust in the law enforcement investigation if what you say contradicts this media or this narrative that's on social media?
Absolutely. Social media is something that, quite frankly, I can't control, and neither can anyone in this room. Everyone in here is a trusted and respectful journalist, and your word means a lot, which is why we're doing our third press conference of the day to get the actual truth out to what has happened. We have a PIO, three of them, working today to make sure we have information. I will say this. If you're listening to this or you're at home and you're thinking about reposting or sending something that did not come from someone in this room, a trusted and respected journalist, or did not come from us, please don't do that. Because to answer the second part of your question, what that does is it does help erode the trust in this process, and that's all we have. And also, it could further fan the flames, if you will, of misinformation and of fear at a time where we need to come together and not be divided by anything.
All right, WMTV.
Hello. Although unfortunate to ask about, were there any lessons learned from back in May from the Mount Hope shooting that you guys used in action today?
So we were not, that's not my jurisdiction, and so I won't speak to anything that we learned at Mount Hope. But I will speak to 25 years of law enforcement. What I've learned is that every opportunity is an opportunity to grow, do better, and train. This department trains constantly on this thing. I spoke about it earlier. We train as far recent as actually today, because our SET medics were training at the training center 3 miles away, and their training day can't turn into an actual response. So as far as the incident at Mount Horeb, it wasn't my jurisdiction. So the only thing that I can tell you is we try to learn from everything and try to get better. Even this one, we'll do an after-action debrief once everything is done, and we'll talk about how we responded. Is there anything that we can do better? Continuous improvement is one of our core values, and we take that very seriously.
All right, Laura from the Journal Sentinel.
Do you have any idea where the gun came from? Was it did it belong to the shooter? Did it belong to parents?
I do not know. That's part of the investigation process. We're trying to determine that. We're lucky to have great partners at the ATF. They obviously have a program that you're all aware of called the TRACE program. And so we're working with them to try to find the origin of this. And I have no doubt that we'll be able to do that with their help. They are amazing partners along with our partners from the FBI.
It was a handgun, right, to confirm?
I confirmed earlier that it was a handgun.
Thank you.
All right, WKOW Madison.
We're good.
All right, Cody?
Yeah, can I ask Barbara a question?
Yes.
Is that okay? I'm just curious, what kind of safety protocols are in place in the school? Do you have metal detectors, police on staff, kind of anything like that? And does this kind of change the way things will be looking for? I know it's kind of early to ask.
Sure. We're a small private Christian school here on the east side of Madison. We serve 3K to 12. We have had an amazing partnership with the DOJ and the Office of Schools Safety because they have done trainings. They provided school safety grants, and we have participated in both of those school safety grants to harden our school, if you can use that language. We do not have metal detectors, but we do have a number of security protocols in place. We have always been told not to share our security protocols with publicly, because then those who might want to do harm will know your security protocols. But the students are aware that there are cameras in the building, and we do monitor those regularly in the offices so that we know what is happening in the hallways. We also have other safety measures throughout the building, but as to a metal detector, no, we do not have. We do abide by the policy of visual scans every morning as students come into the building. So every student is visually scanned before they go up to their locker spaces or into their classrooms.
How many students are there?
420, 3K to 12.
Lucas from the State Journal.
What part of the school did the shooting happen in?
Say again.
I said, what part of the school did the shooting happen in?
It happened in near the, so the school is obviously segregated into sections. I'm told that it happened at a period of time when the transition was complete. Students were where they were supposed to be, near classrooms in the hallway. I did not, again, go into the school, so I don't know the exact nomenclature of where it happened, but it happened in the learning part of the school.
Barbara, speak to that, maybe the specifics of the layout of the school?
Yeah, because we're still investigating, we'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
All right, Sarah from WPR.
You mentioned that the school has a partnership with the Office of School Safety, with the Wisconsin Attorney General's office. Did police have access to blueprints of the school as a result of that partnership, and how did that, if so, inform the police response?
We have that all uploaded. I don't know what the police did. I can't speak to that.
I can speak to the blueprints and the maps. We do have those uploaded as part of our reporting to the Department of Justice and the Office of School Safety. How they were used, I don't know. I do know that the police were going through, and they were working with staff to secure the different areas, and that they did have maps. So whether those are the blueprint maps or what they were using, that I can't speak to, but I do know that they did have maps.
When you said visual scans, is that sort of like looking the student up and down, or is that going through a scanner device?
It's a visual scan where we look at the student to see if there's anything unique or unusual in them.
Great. Ken from WKPT.
Sure. If I could get Barbara back real quick, I'm so sorry. I don't know if you've had a ton of conversations with parents or staff members today, but what is the prevailing thought or message that they wanted to impart to you and administration?
Sure. I had the opportunity to speak to the parents at the reunification site a couple of different times. The families that I did speak to mostly were, as you would expect at Abundant Life, they were supportive. They were amazingly patient and kind. They were offering repeatedly, we're praying for you, we're praying for our family, because at ALCS we call ourselves the Challenger family. We see ourselves as a family, not just a community. And whether their child was affected by this or not, they were affected by it, because what affects one part of the body affects all, as we know the Bible says. And so we hold that dear. We also have a very strong faith in our community that in spite of tragedy, God is working, and we believe that God is good in everything and that he turns beauty for ashes. And so I had a number of families who mentioned that to me, that this wasn't a surprise to God and that he's going to do something mighty with it. And so we're holding on to those words, and we're continuing to believe and trust in him. He is our foundation at Abundant Life Christian School. We exist to bring and to build disciples of Jesus Christ, and so we have complete faith that he will carry us through this.
All right, Danielle from Cape Times.
I have another question for Barbara. Sorry to bring you back up. So what details can you share about what students were up to right before the shooting started, the environment, what their morning was like?
So some of this is part of the investigation, so I think there's limited things that I can say at this time. Once the investigation is complete, obviously there will be more that will be shared. We certainly don't want to say anything that would impede MPD.
Yeah.
That would be critical. So I will actually step aside and let let Chief Barnes speak to that because he is the lead for that.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. We're certainly working to get as much information as you can. We'll do another, a fourth, I think, press conference today, later on today, I think at 8:30. And so hopefully we will have a little more information for you.
Okay, DG with PBS Wisconsin.
Chief Burns, were there other search warrants executed today in addition to the house on the north side?
I'm not aware of any.
All right, Carl from NBC 26.
Yeah, I have a question for Barbara. Was this the shooter at school at the beginning of the day, or was there a forcible entry later in the day?
We believe that.
I believe that's a good question.
Yeah. We believe that the shooter was at school. We have no information that there was some type of breach to the school.
Okay, Jenna from WMTV.
TMJ 4?
Yep, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Question for you, Barbara, if you don't mind. Can you just talk about, Chief earlier mentioned how teachers and employees and staff really follow the protocols that you guys had practiced in place. I know that this is an emotional event, obviously for students, but those teachers really take it to heart when they are sitting there protecting those little ones at the school. Can you talk a little bit about what they did right in this situation? Obviously, this is tragic, but unfortunately, we've seen school shootings play out that are far worse than what we saw today.
So it's timely that just prior to the start of the school year, we had a retraining. We train on this. We do lockdown drills. We do evacuation drills as part of our standard drill protocols. Our students are versed in that. Our faculty are well versed in that. The training that we did with MPD at the very beginning of the year, prior to the students returning to campus, had some new updates, and so we had looked at some of those things. So I think everything was very fresh for our faculty. We follow the protocol of always keeping our school doors locked, and so that is one of the things that makes it quick and easy to secure a room. I was actually teaching at the time, and so following those protocols, as a teacher would do, we take care of making sure the door is secure, we shut the door down, we get the students to a safe part of the room, and we prepare. The students handled themselves magnificently. I cannot tell you how well our students did in that process. They were clearly scared when they realized. When we practice, we always say, this is a drill, it is just a drill. When they heard lockdown, lockdown, and nothing else, they knew it was real. But they handled themselves brilliantly. And our faculty, kudos to them for following the protocols, keeping their students safe, doing what we have been trained to do. And so much credit of that goes to the Department of Justice and the Office of School Safety. We have been through a number of trainings by them, and we follow their standards. And while we had never hoped to actually employ them today, they helped keep students safe.
We have an additional comment.
Sure. I'm Trish Kilpin, the director of the Office of School Safety at Wisconsin DOJ. And I just would like to reiterate something Chief Barnes had mentioned earlier, and that is that targeted violence is preventable. That when somebody conducts a school shooting, they don't simply snap. They don't just decide one day to engage in this egregious behavior. Instead, they make a decision and start research and planning towards an act of violence. And when they're on that pathway to violence, they often demonstrate observable behaviors that others noticed. 82% of the time, somebody knows about a school shooter's plan to attack a school. So I would encourage all in the community, students, parents alike, to report to Speak Up, Speak Out Wisconsin, our 24/7 call center, where we do receive concerns about planned school attacks and deliver them locally to local law enforcement and schools to intervene to prevent violence.
Can you say and spell your first and last name, please, Chris?
Trish Kilpin, TRISHKILPIN, Director, Wisconsin DOJ, Office of School Safety.
All right, Shali from WRT.
Thank you. Yeah, this question is for Director Weir. I know that the school was in the last days of classes before winter break. What are your school's plans for the rest of the week, and what kind of community processing, understanding that you might not know yet,
sure,
you have in the works?
So at this time, the school is a crime scene, so the students nor staff can be on site. We want to make sure that we work in tandem with Madison Police and have them do everything that they need to do, so we will abide by their standards, and when they say we can be back in the building, we'll return back to the building. We do have a goal of trying to get our staff together here early in the week and then try to have some community opportunities for our students to reconnect before the holidays. Whether we will return to classes this week, because this was our last week, we were done on Friday, is still to be determined. I do know that there is talk of a public vigil down at the Capitol. We are so grateful that we have this amazing support from the community, and so we thank them for that. Our families will, I would guess, participate in that, and I'm sure that as we move forward, we will have more plans of what we will do specifically for them. Our focus today was the reunification of getting kids to their families.
All right, we don't have too many more. Whitney from CNN.
The parents' cooperation, and I know you're reluctant to talk about motive at this point because there's so much to know, but have they given you any indication that they know perhaps what the motive is?
They're still in interview, so we don't know what they're telling our detectives. I can only tell you that because they're still in interview, because they're still talking, we are getting cooperation from them. As to the specifics of what they're saying, we don't know that. One of the things that we try to do that we've learned doing interviews with people who are cooperative is not to interrupt. And so I would not want to interrupt the interview just to give information. We'll come back a little later. If you can have more information, we'll do that. Thank you.
All right, Rob, Fox 9. All right, Adam from CBS Milwaukee.
Hey, Chief, right in front here. What can you tell us about whether these victims were targeted at all, and are there cameras inside the school?
Yeah, I think whether they were targeted or not would speak to motivation, and we don't know that answer just yet. But I do believe the director stated that there were cameras inside the building, public space cameras.
Dane, go ahead.
How many shots roughly were fired? Do you know yet?
No, we do not know that. That will be a part of the forensic investigation. Our crime scene investigators will be going through that. And we have also have been offered help from the FBI if we need it. Additional help to actually process the scene as well. But right now, that's a question that we really cannot answer.
Okay, Nick from WISN.
Is anyone in custody, and is there any reason to think that there is anybody else involved?
There is not, no.
Brett from Fox 6.
Were there any other weapons or any notes left behind?
Not that I'm prepared to share now.
Bob from ABC News.
Good? Yeah. We were wondering where the mayor is right now and what is more important for her than attending this press conference?
She was here earlier. She gave her statements, which I thought were very appropriate. We're going to do multiple press conferences, and so we want the focus to be on information for the community that's going to come from the police department. So that is what I will tell you. She was here earlier, and maybe you missed it, but she was here. I also want to say that
will she attend later tonight?
I do not know that. I do not know that. But I do know she was here when we had our main press conference. Additionally, we have been receiving a lot of calls. I was on the phone with the Attorney General, Merrick Garland. I know we did receive a call from the President and his office and several others from around the state, including the governor. And so we thank them for their interest in that.
Okay, Mills from News Nation.
This is for Barbara. Do you guys have a school resource officer? And then also, too, is the school one level, two level? When you walk in, what's that look like?
Sure. Yeah, two levels. That's
sure. So we do not have a school resource officer. Again, as a small school, that is outside of our possibilities right now. We are a two-level school, so there's two tiers to us. We are shaped as a giant L. We have a main entrance through that is secured during the school day, so anyone coming in after school hour, when school starts at 8:05, would need to buzz in and be let in.
All right, I'll let Chief Barnes close this out, and then we'll be back at 8:30.
So again, I want to thank everyone for being here. Chief, everyone for all the support. This has been really a day of collaboration, a day of preparation, a day in the making that we hoped would not happen. Again, as someone who was a former public school teacher, teaching history for 4 years in a public high school, As someone who's a father, this is a tough day for me. It's a tough day for our community. It's a tough day for everyone. It's a sad day. It's a day that will be certainly etched in the collective memories of everyone in Madison, and just another example of what can happen in our country. We have to do better. We have to collaborate with each other. We have to understand the warning signs, and we have to use our resources when we see things that may be going wrong or someone who may be going off the beaten path. That's the charge really to our country now, and we have to do a better job of taking care of each other. And so all children have been reunified with their parents, and these children are now the latest group of survivors of a school shooting, this time, unfortunately, in Madison, Wisconsin. We will try to come back around 8:30 with additional information for our fourth press conference of the day. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.